we are here in this physical realm to enjoy and be a part of these earthly delights. Mm-hmm. Like, we are here. We are spiritual beings having a human physical experience. So why not lean into those beautiful releases?
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today on Sweet Release, I have Miss Tess here with me today.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here. We are talking about your disability, your journey to self-love, and kind of like your sexual liberation. So, yeah. And I've been seeing a lot more of you lately, but I feel like I don't really know you. So I'm excited to like get to know more about you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I've been a big fan of the podcast for a while. So when you asked me, it was like, oh yeah, that's easy. That's an easy fuck yes.
Yes, we love the fuck yeses. Yeah. Do you want to start with kind of like, I guess, you know, when people think of disability, they think of more of like a visual or, and yours is, type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. So are you able to like kind of share how that's impacted your life and when you were diagnosed and all of that?
Yeah. So diabetes is a disease that is kind of known as like an invisible disease. Mm-hmm. So it's not an obvious disability. It's something that is dealt with every day on minute by minute decision making. And it affects every moment of my life. There's not a moment where I'm not in the presence of my disability or facing it. Very similar to people with, you know, wheelchairs who, are non-physically abled people who have to get around or work around the challenges that are in front of them of getting around. So with me, it's, decisions about my food, how I treat my body, and I'm very in touch with what's going on with me. So I was diagnosed when I was 7 years old with type 1 diabetes, diabetes mellitus, as it's known. It means that my pancreas does not work. It literally attacked itself. And I was told at a very young age that my body was broken.
Ooh.
So I carried that with me for a very, very long time. And it was heavy. It was really heavy to carry around, and it was a lot. But more recently, with my self-discovery, with my acceptance of myself, with taking and turning that kind of disability into a superpower, knowing that because I have to take such good care of my own body on a consistent and daily basis, how in touch I am with myself, with my physical surroundings, with the feelings and the sensations that I feel, I've been able to kind of harness that power and apply it into almost everything I do in life and create a really, really beautiful life for myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, leaning into it.
Yeah, that's beautiful to hear. I can imagine at such a young age, I mean, the way that it just makes you feel like something is wrong with you, especially if that's the way that they kind of framed it when they told you.
Absolutely.
But to kind of, like you said, harness it and see it as a superpower, mm-hmm. I think that's really good advice for people.
Yeah. It's, listen, when I was diagnosed, it was a much different world.
I was going to say, how much has it changed?
Yeah. So now there's incredible, incredible technology that's out there to help support and kind of take, I want to say, the burden of thinking about every single little thing that happens out of my mindset. So it creates a little bit more space for me to explore and have fun and creativity, I'm not constantly thinking about my blood sugar, you know, the food that I ate, the, you know, how much exercise I've had, how my stress levels are. And it kind of created an artificial pancreas working for me in the background, which has given me a lot of joy and ability to do the things that I wasn't able to do when I was younger, out of being scared, out of fear, out of not believing that I was capable or I had a right to pleasure. And mm-hmm. that was the biggest takeaway and thing that I've really leaned into more recently is knowing that, like, hey, yeah, you have a disability, but you as a human, you have a right to pleasure. And the more you lean into that and the more you harness that pleasure and you make it a priority for yourself, especially on a physical level, the more power you can create in your own life and more joy you can have. So
I love that. Yeah. I had a recent episode where I was just reminding people that you deserve pleasure in all its forms, no matter what you like, no matter what your erotic authenticity is what I always call it, but you deserve it and you should always welcome it.
It was something that for a long time I didn't believe and I wasn't in touch with. And a couple of years ago when I kind of had this realization and this mea culpa moment in my own personal health and mental health, that it was like, wait a minute, wait. We are here in this physical realm to enjoy and be a part of these earthly delights. Like we are here. We are spiritual beings having a human physical experience. So why not lean into those beautiful releases? Yeah. Like you say, you know, it's like enjoy, lean into the pleasure, lean into the ecstasy, lean into the joy and the love and the creativity that comes from those moments, and the rest of your life kind of tends to follow into that the more you do. So
I love that.
Yeah.
So besides like you have a little like a physical kind of contraption or computer kind of mechanism.
Yeah. I call myself the bionic woman.
I love it.
I do have a device that I wear on my arm. I have two of them, actually. They work separately. One is a continuous glucose monitor that takes my blood sugar every 5 minutes. And then I also wear an insulin pump that kind of like an IV drip slowly gives me my insulin as needed. And they communicate together, which has given me the freedom to kind of live my life without constantly thinking about what's going on in my body.
So before you kind of had this kind of more self-love and sexual awakening moment recently, were you just very insecure about those parts of you, or what was that journey?
Yeah. So I hid my disease with a lot of shame. I always felt like because of my diabetes, I wasn't worthy of love. I wasn't worthy of a partnership. I wasn't worthy of pleasure. And really kind of like receiving the joys and the benefits of life when you work towards goals. I hid with a lot of shame. I tried to never show it off in public or in public spaces. Even when I first got my devices and I was wearing them, I would actually use like skin tone stickers to cover them up like not make it so obvious. And it wasn't until I went to one of my first play parties, actually. And somebody was like, I saw another diabetic at the play party. And it was like, oh my God, we're here. We exist in this space as well. And the minute that that happened and I saw somebody else in that space with me, supporting me, encouraging me to be my authentic self, the stickers came off. And I want to say that that was a really massive representation and,
kind of a catalyst. Exactly.
Yeah. I want to say that the sticker came off for my insulin pump, but the sticker came off for me in my life.
Yeah.
And not hiding it and wearing it with pride and being like, yeah, no, I am a diabetic and I'm even more resilient and powerful because I wear it with a badge of honor instead of hiding it and being so shameful. So those are two journeys that are very much aligned, like on a railroad track going together, and they're connected. And it's been really, really, really cool.
I love that. Do you have any tips for people that also are kind of harboring the shame of certain similar disabilities or anything that's really worked for you?
It's been a journey. It's been a long journey. The biggest influence that I can say is lean in to finding what works and where your pleasure center is. For me, it was very much about physical touch and orgasm and pleasure and bringing myself really into my body and getting out of my own head. The second part to that, for anybody who is suffering with a disability or a disorder or a syndrome that keeps you exhausted, tired, feeling like one day you can and the next day you can't, and you don't understand where the difference is in that disability, finding a community of people that accept you and love you for who you are, who share in your experience, has absolutely changed my life. Having that support system with other type 1 diabetics for me has been incredibly empowering. The friends that I have now because of it, things that we are able to talk about. I didn't have too much of that in my younger years.
Yeah.
So it's truly, truly changed my complete outlook of how to manage myself, not just with the physical sense of like, oh, you have to manage your blood sugars and you have to manage your stress levels. It was like, no, there is a whole other part of this pie is community and support and knowing that you're not alone. So leaning into those two things and then understanding, I think, what your relationship with shame around it is. You know, you or anybody with any disability deserves and has the right to physical pleasure. And I will be an advocate for that till the day I die. And it's been a journey to be able to tap into that joy and to watch it evolve over the past few years. The understanding of myself and the understanding of how orgasms, how pleasure in my life affects my diabetes, because it does. It is reflected when I'm having a wonderful relationship with somebody and I am orgasming and I am pleasure and I am in that beautiful state of flow and energy flowing. It is reflected in my blood sugar numbers. And that is absolutely fascinating to witness.
I love hearing that because I'm always talking about the mind-body connection. So it's like, it's true.
It really, really is. And that's what I think what's really cool about diabetes. And I think that that is kind of the superpower is that like, you can experience all of these things as a human, like, you know, being in your pleasure center, being in your orgasm, being in that joy and that love. But with diabetes, I get to actually see the physical response to it in real time.
Yeah, you get like those numbers. It's like a...
it's like playing a video game a little bit. And it's like, I know that joy and pleasure and things of that creative positivity flow absolutely affect my blood sugars in a positive
way. Gives you
that
high score.
No, we don't want the high score. We want the medium score. We don't want the low score. We don't want the high score. We want that just right, that Goldilocks number. Yeah.
So were you kind of a late bloomer to orgasms and pleasure, or had you explored yourself?
I had explored, I want to say I was pretty sexually charged as a young child. I got my my cycle very young. I was 11 years old. I had sex for the first time when I was 14. I discovered that I was a squirter when I was like 17 or 18. So I've been very tapped into my sexuality, but there was absolutely a disconnect between myself and physical pleasure for many, many years. Or I want to say it was like, it was kind of blocked. I wasn't fully accepting myself. And because of that, I wasn't fully accepting my own orgasms as well, or my curiosity about diving deeper into it. I kind of thought it was just like, oh yeah, you just have sex and that's the feeling you have and that's it.
When you have these like walls up or when you aren't fully aware.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a moment for me where I was like, oh my God, all of a sudden I'm like aware of my body and my relationships.
Oh my God, that's the perfect. Yes. Okay. So the minute that I started tapping into my diabetes and accepting myself, I went into an all women's diabetes group. And the minute that this happened and I was part of a community of women and it was like, oh wait, I'm going to start paying attention to myself more. I'm going to start paying attention to the joys that I have. It absolutely led me into uncovering and dissecting and kind of pulling that thread of that sweater when it came to my physical pleasure. And it was like, wait, there's so much more here. Can we explore this? Like, wait a minute. There's like really, really good ooey gooey goodness here. And then observing that, you know, I get to see the real numbers in real time. And it's like, oh, a couple months later, it's like you're taking better care of yourself, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And your numbers and your A1C and everything that comes with your physical health around diabetes is reflecting that. And that's really cool.
So I love that. Yeah. It's such a good feeling to see like your body responding to the good things that are happening in your life. You know, it's kind of like a domino effect, and it really is.
Well, and I think it goes both ways also. I think when you can create that balance on a physical level, you become stronger mentally as well. Cause you're like, no, I know what feels good. I know this feeling of positivity. I know this feeling of flow, of openness versus resistance, struggle, swimming upstream. And it's like, when you tap into those feelings and you become really familiar with them, it becomes so much easier for you to identify when something is flowing correctly or when it's a struggle. Yeah. You're like, oh, I can pick that up right away. I know. No need to think about it. Yeah.
I love it. Have you ever had like an intimate moment with someone else that was a diabetic?
We've had some like cuddle sessions and some nice like intimacy moments for sure. I've yet to be that physically intimate with somebody.
I was just curious.
Yeah. I've been on a couple dates with a couple diabetics though, and that's always been fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's a good way to connect, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like the community you were talking about, I feel like it's nice to find those like-minded individuals. And
it's such a unique experience to have diabetes growing up with it. I think we all go through a lot of different struggles. Going on dates, I find that men with diabetes don't have the same struggles as women do. It is a disease that's, you know, insulin is an enzyme, it's a hormone. And so women's cycles affect our numbers so much more on a daily basis and the cycles that we go through, as opposed to men who aren't going through those same cycles and those imbalances on a regular basis. So it's very fascinating to sit down with a diabetic male versus assigned at birth, you know, as opposed to a female who's going through the same struggles. We can have a shared experience, but it's still a little bit different than with another woman. Yeah.
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 I'm curious to hear too, if you're comfortable sharing, you know, we talked about, you know, you mentioned play parties and, has that been a place for you also to kind of like really fall in love with yourself again?
100%. I'm my biggest fan. Hi.
Hi, that's me.
Hi, that's me. I am very fortunate and I'm very blessed to have found a community of people that it was the first play party I ever went to. Shout out, short plug, the Play LA. I was very fortunate to find a community that was so accepting. Even in my initial like application, I told them, I was like, look, I wear an insulin pump. I have to have, you know, my device on me and these like special precautions and accommodations that I needed them to make in order for my health to be a priority, which is one of their pillars. So finding them accommodating me and making sure that I felt safe at that party for my first ever experience was one of the first steps into that. It was like, they accepted me. So I accepted myself in that space as well. And, that love, that growth, that self-acceptance, that just watching myself in that space also and how I function, where my awareness is, where my focus goes, has been observing myself. I love being in that space. And it has given me a lot of power for myself. It has given me a lot of confidence in myself. And it's just been a life-changing experience in becoming my biggest fan and knowing what I'm worth, knowing what I deserve, and being able to ask for it.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah.
when you know what you want.
And you're like, I want this. And to have a community be like, we'll rally for that. Like, let's make it happen. And that's just been incredible. being able to be your authentic self mm-hmm. is, I think, the greatest gift on this planet that we can have. And I just want to be the most authentic person I can possibly be. And being true to having my disease that I have carried this with me my whole life, you know, 30 plus years, and to be able to wear it as a badge of honor instead of as a detriment or a chip out of my structure is, it's been a journey getting to that point and like kind of shifting your mentality a little bit, but it's been the best gift that I could have ever asked for.
Yay. So,
thank you, Play Parties, for giving me that. Yes.
Yay, Play Parties. Was there, you mentioned how, you know, asking for what you want, was there ever, or is there a story that you'd be comfortable sharing where you've had like a fantasy fulfilled or some sort of desire or something that came to light or?
Actually, yeah. The last Play Party, I had a fantasy of being with two gentlemen. And that ended up playing out. Yay. And that was great. It was a lot of fun. And someone who I was I'm seeing at the time was there, and they were a witness to that as well. And I got to share with me how that was a turn on for them, watching me go and get what I wanted and just taking kind of the bulls by the horn, lack of a better term.
Yes.
But that was a great experience. It was a lot of fun. There was a little bit of like, I tried to set it up to not be at a play party and to have it be a little bit more of like an intimate setting. But some things don't, you know, as any diabetic knows, the world does not always work in the way that you planned. Yes. And you have to adjust and you have to make accommodations. And so it just so happened that the way that the energy was flowing that night was it was going to happen that night. And so it did.
You have to
and
welcome it.
we welcomed it with full open arms. And it was an awesome, awesome experience. It was a lot of fun. And then also like to have someone you're seeing witness that and kind of be a part of it as well. It's like, that added a whole element of like, this is hot. This is very sexy. Yum. And then we're very turned on by it. So
Yum. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, one of my first MMFs was my birthday, like years and years ago. It was when I had first moved to LA.
Yeah.
And I had gotten a new bed. I had just moved into this new place with my sister. And I was like, it's my birthday. Does anyone want to come up? Like I had a community group chat. And I was like, does anyone want to come over and spoil me? And two guys ended up coming over. So it was like, oh, it was so good. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, it's a lot of
different energy. I mean, I do love male, female.
Yeah.
Dynamics because I'm queer. And so that's
same.
Really nice.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've had many of those, but this was like your first two guy. Yeah.
I'd had another, two men and myself, experience, but it was very short lived.
Okay.
And it was like very brief and it was at a play party and it was kind of like a 5 minute, like,
so it was a taste.
It was a taste. But these particular, these two particular guys that, I'd met them a while ago and I'll just say they are very professional men. They have done this before and they know what they are doing and they are the gift that keeps on giving.
I love that.
And it was just like, and it was the same thing for my birthday. I tried to set it up for my birthday and the timing just didn't work out then, but it did end up happening and it was a full experience. It was fucking great.
Yes. And your numbers were perfect medium that next day.
And my numbers were great and I was glowing and the aura and the vibes. That's the best part is like when you go to a sex party and you have a great night, the next day your aura and glow can just, it can fade into the week. It's like you carry that energy and that aura with you for days at a time afterwards. So I absolutely feel like those play parties affect you more than just the physical sense. It's a spiritual experience that makes your aura light up.
I love that. I talk a lot about the energy, you know, like when you're tapping into that energetic space and being in that kind of atmosphere, it can just make you feel really good. The last few parties, I mean, I've been filming at, so I've been in work mode. But even several that Hunter and I have been to recently, like we haven't really been in that super playful mindset, but yeah. even just like being in the space is like so rewarding.
Oh, 100%.
And then coming home and like having our own, you know, yes. play session then is like, you know, it still feels it's, like it's part of the party.
It's vibe. Charged. You're like, yeah, it's you're charged by yeah. the party. You're literally taking the energy mm-hmm. from it and then bringing it home with you.
Yeah.
So the last play party where this wonderful experience happened, it was the first party in a long time that I was actually playing at because I usually am working yeah. and volunteering at these events as well. So there's been so many events between when I first attended versus kind of where I'm at now where it was just the focus of me just being present at the parties. I never walk into a party expecting anything, right. like no sexpectations ever. That is a recipe for disaster. You will set yourself up to fail and be disappointed, but just walk in with the endless possibility of anything, everything, and nothing
yes.
can happen.
I love that.
And being okay with it. And I'm like you. I just enjoy being at these parties, the kind of people that attend, the energy of it, the open-mindedness, the acceptance. It mm-hmm. just feels like you're with a community, you're with your people, you're with family. And so it lights me up whether I play or not, regardless.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. And I like that you mentioned, you know, the spirituality of it. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've connected more to like your spirituality in the last few years too? Like has that been connected to your sexual awakening
oh, as well? That's a great question. I like yes and no. I think that I have always been a very spiritual person. I've been very in touch with my spirituality. What I feel is that there's a connection now. Mm. There's an alignment that's happened in accepting myself for my whole self with my faults, with my diabetes, with everything that's there. It feels like I'm more aligned and I'm actualizing my spiritual self mm-hmm. with my physical actions. And when there's an alignment with that and they speak clearly together, it's like, oh, that's easy. That's flow. That's no question about it. It's a fuck yes.
Yeah.
You know? So
you're more yeah. tapped in.
I yeah, guess, absolutely.
Yeah.
Love absolutely that. Tapped in. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. How about, you know, play parties obviously give you this, you know, feel good vibe and mm-hmm. charge you up. But does self-pleasure, is that something that you kind of love to experience as
I
well?
I love self-pleasure. Yes, I very, very much encourage it and believe in it. I've been masturbating since I was probably 13, 12 years old. Mm. You know, I didn't get my first toy until I was much, much older. But now I have an array of them and I have a lot of fun. I did have a really incredible, unique experience the other day where I cried and pleasured myself at the same time.
Oh, that's a release. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody has ever done that before.
Highly recommend it.
Because it was, we talk about like, you know, being physically intimate, you can get out of your own head, right? Because you're in your body. Being two in your head, being two in your body, it's kind of a split. Somehow the connection when you are crying and having this emotional cathartic release, you know, don't force yourself if you're not in the mood. But like, if you're kind of feeling it and you're like, I'm horny, but I also am sad, give it a try because yeah, it was an incredible release. And I felt so much better. It was like the best cry that I had ever had. And also one of the greatest orgasms. And I don't know which is the chicken or the egg question, yeah. but like it, I'm not going to question it. I don't.
Oh my God, that's a great idea. I might have to do that because I'm a very emotional person. I've had yeah. plenty of orgasms where it's brought me to tears.
Yes.
But I've never like yes. intentionally been like, oh, you know what? I feel like I need a good cry. But I also want to come.
Yeah.
Let's try to put those together. I love this idea, Tess.
It was kind of insane, but wow. amazing. And I highly recommend it, especially if you're an emotional person,
yeah.
emotionally intelligent person. And like you can tap into that and be present in both spaces. Mm. Yeah, it was really powerful. It was really good. yeah. So I want to tap into that more.
yeah.
Why not? Yeah, sure.
yeah, what are some of your favorite toys that you have in your repertoire?
I don't have the Tachi wand.
Okay.
But I have something that is similar to it. A former partner of mine got it for me, and they actually did some really good research about purchasing it because Tracy's Dog, the brand.
Oh, I don't know that one. I
highly recommend looking into them. Apparently, Tracy, whoever you are, Tracy, took some of the most popular toys that are out there by like larger name brand, you know, the Rabbit, the Hitachi wand, mm-hmm. and she redesigned them from a women's perspective. So the wand that I have is ergonomic. I can hold it in my hand and it's not like this awkward, heavy thing. It's probably like 3 or 4 pounds lighter than the wand.
Yeah.
It has an adjustable head on it. It's waterproof.
All the things you
all
want.
All the things. It's like, oh, yeah, why wouldn't I do this one? Like, I don't need the name brand one. This one is so much better. So yes. I really enjoy that. You know, I have a rabbit. I've got a couple other, like, you know, more clitoral fun toys that are out there as well. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I had a really good moment recently where a close person in my life, we were celebrating her love, and I gave her a couple gifts, and I was just so excited because, you know, I'm always exuding, you know, sex in my life and and my obviously this podcast. And so I gave her a new vibrator and some rope, and she's like 10 out of 10, did it right away. I was like, you've never even tied me up before. It was long overdue. I was like, yes, made me feel so good. I was like, this is my mission in life, and I'm doing it. I'm doing
it. Yes.
So it's a good reminder now that Christmas is coming up and the holidays or, you know, any celebratory event, it's like a good to, you know, get yourself a new toy.
Get yourself a new, I think any occasion is a good excuse to get a new toy.
Like,
your pleasure should never be questioned about spending money on it.
Like, and then it's just going to fuel you to like explore more and tap
your
into that
creativity juices start flowing and your inspiration, your love. And, you know, like what you put your attention and your energy towards is what you attract. And so when you are practicing your self-pleasure, your self-joy, your own personal peace, it will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it's going to be perfect every second of every day, because that's not the way life works.
Yeah,
but
definitely not.
You will start harnessing and finding it coming to you a lot easier. You'll find it coming to you in ways that you're like, oh, I see the gratitude in that. Making those connections. So
leading with gratitude is so important too.
Yeah.
In all those moments, it's like, be grateful. Like even, you know, you having to live with this disability your whole life or this disease, like it's like reminding yourself that there's grace in that too. Like you're grateful to still have a body that like supports you.
I think that that is the key, you know, is I could sit here and the story that I tell myself could be I'm broken. I'm, you know, I can't have children. I can't, you know, do these things. I can't run a marathon. I can't do all these. I can do all of those things. Doctors, you know, everybody, the parents, the coaches, the people, they believed that I couldn't because they weren't capable of holding the space and the imagination and the openness that it is. And by believing in yourself, the world will always tell you can't, especially as a diabetic. Like you can't, or you shouldn't. You have to be the one for yourself to advocate for yourself. And it's like, the minute that you start honing in on that and owning your personal power, the more that connection with love and gratitude happen. I could tell myself the story that I'm broken. I could tell myself the story that I have a superpower, that I'm more in touch with my own body. I am more in touch with the nuances that happen because I have to be hyper aware. Maybe that's my unique ability, is being in touch with my sexuality and being in touch with my my pleasure and being able to harness and tap into it so easily because I have that hyper-focus ability. So
I love that. Love that.
Thank you.
Do you have any kind of like aspirations for your future? Anything in the realms of pleasure or diabetes? Or
I mean, I did go to school to be a health and wellness coach. I'm certified health and wellness coach.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm working on getting my national board license for that. I would love to start a practice with type 1 diabetic women, harnessing and tapping into their personal pleasure. Eventually extending that to couples, you know, even and men. I can't speak on behalf of men. I am not one, but I would love to help assist them in any way that I can. Right now, my goal is to earn some money and to get back on my feet and and make a life for myself again. I took a little hiatus from life for a while.
Sometimes we need those moments.
I needed to rebuild. And that's, listen, that's what got me here where I am now. I was in a very, very, very different world. So it's been quite a transformation and a journey. And I needed to take a little time off in order to do that, to give myself the space to do it. 10 out of 10 would do it, would do it again in a heartbeat. So, but now it's like, okay, we're healed. We're full human right now. We're feeling very abundant. Our cup is overfloweth, and we're ready to like start giving back that energy to the world instead of taking the time out. So,
yeah, that's a good place to be. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yay. Well, I'd love to hear. We did talk about that beautiful, sweet release you had this week, but if there's another recent sweet release you're comfortable sharing.
That was a good one. I mean, I masturbated this morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It gotta start your day right.
Yeah. Gotta start it right. It's like a morning meditation, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really does reset your nervous system. So
that's a good ritual. I used to have a ritual of doing it on my drive to work when I had like a 20-minute drive and I would like build the whole time and then sometimes get in a few like towards the last few minutes of the drive, which maybe isn't the safest thing to promote.
I was going to ask, I was like, were you at stoplights?
Just like a little vibrator, like in there, like a little bullet one, you know, and just one-handed driving, which I guess isn't proper, but just being careful.
I wish I didn't make so much of a mess when I orgasmed. Otherwise, I would be doing that.
Well, that's kind of the edging of it is like you have to be like, it's kind of like you have to be quiet. Like you have to be like, because
it has to be
I don't want people to know that I'm doing that, you know? And it's not like I've tinted windows. It's like, okay, I have to like have a silent or just like a non-reactive one.
I kind of like how you're holding yourself back a little bit. But intentionally,
right?
Not unintentionally. There's a big difference between the two of those. Totally. So I love that practice for you. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Morning is a good one too.
Oh yeah, start your day off right.
Yeah,
like if you've already orgasmed for the day, like,
and you're like, what? No, I'm set.
I'm set. I'm good. It's all like can just go up from here. It's fine.
That.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, is there anything else you want to share with my listeners? I'm trying to think of any last-minute things, any last-minute self-love tools or anything else.
Remember to breathe. Get back in touch with your breath.
Yes.
It's your baseline. It's your rhythm. And when you are in touch with that rhythm and you start listening to your body more and you truly quiet the world outside, you can get in touch with some really, really juicy, goody, ooey, gooey, gusher stuff inside of yourself. And that is my best advice to anybody, human, bionic, or otherwise, is you have a right to that pleasure. And by just slowing down and tapping into yourself and listening to yourself, you absolutely can uncover it. It's there. It's not something you have to search for externally. It's inside of you.
Breathe. Welcome it in.
And release it. Breathe it in and let it go.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Barbie.
Lovely chatting with you.
Yes.
And in the words of Tess too, sweets, don't forget to breathe and don't forget to be sweet to yourself. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you.
Cool. That was great.
Yay.